Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we just remind ourselves as we look at your word, Spirit of God, that should help us in every way to have the advantage of being able to see it, to read it, to understand it, requires your presence. So help us in every way, and we're going to thank you very much, even now, in Christ's name, amen. And in our exercise of late, in the first epistle of John, as we have been going and doing. So, and we shared together. All of that is because we did the 21 chapters of the book of John to help us understand what? That God in Christ is to be in you and to be in the believing heart, and that we are to know and understand God's awesome person in a very unique way as children, as part of the body of Christ, in a very privileged way. So, having that unique relationship to God, and all we need to do is believe, 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 and like the Gospel of John. And so therefore, so when we come to 1 John, all these years later, John is writing because that wonderful relationship that God has made possible in his person in Christ Jesus is being threatened, is being attacked, understandably. So therefore God, 1 John comes along, and what are you trying to say, God? John, using John, you're trying to say we have a unique relationship, fellowship with God. And that, in spite of your old sin nature, and you're to enjoy that relationship for real and for right, you're to enjoy that relationship. You are truly, truly, when you get saved, saved. You're either saved or you're not saved. Christ saves you. You don't save yourself. So you aren't going to talk about what, it isn't a question of what you did. It's what he did. And you either believe or didn't. You received him as your Savior. That's something God does. When you receive him, God's the one that makes you his child, makes you his son. God does that. You and I don't do it. We didn't do anything. All we were, like we had the dead sticks, as dead. And God gives us life in a wonderful way. That's what being saved means. It isn't ticket to heaven, no. It's God's looking for the human heart to go from a state of death to a state of life. God wants us to be on planet Earth as his witness of his saving grace. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, I can, and doing that. And by the way, if I may interrupt, we found this little hearing aid, it hasn't been battery, and they put it up here. Now I stopped everything because someone can't hear. So it's here. So if you're missing your battery, it's right here. Thank you. Now, back over in God's saving wonderful grace. So our old nature robs us, and the system out there is dead set against that relationship being exercised and enjoyed to truly, truly, truly be saved for real. And it's against it. So the world system's against it. Our old sin nature's against it. The devil is against it. So, and therefore, 1 John, all these years after that, in the process, after 30 AD, all the way to 90, 95, right up in there, AD. So what are you saying, John? John's telling you, being written, is writing to us, that we're to have a unique fellowship. Chapter 1, just to do it for the seeing it. Chapter 1, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We're to have a unique oneness with God, the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, to have a wonderful relationship with Peter, James, and Paul, to be in the same family, to be having the same Father, the same love, all of which, chapter 1, verse 4, all and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full, that you might understand the wonderful, practical, profitable, pleasing benefit of what? Of being saved here, now. Now, in spite of living in a body, disease, death, all of us there, living in a world with all of our world system, without God, our old nature that opposes God. So what do we have? So in our study of 1 John in chapter 3, and what do we find out? Well, the thing, remember, the spirit of Antichrist is in chapter 1, verse 18, etc. And so sliding over it, when we share together, that the world out there was coming against the believers. The believers live in the world. They have all the people that also would have gone to assemble with them that were beyond believers, people that had all kinds of different thoughts and thinking. One of those was the Gnostic thinking that the body, you have an old sin nature, and that you have a body, and we've shared 1,000 times, you can't get rid of the old nature until you die. You got to live with it. Adam gave it to you, and Christ died on the cross to set you free from it, and you don't get rid of it. It doesn't go away till you drop dead and God takes you home. So we got that old sin nature, and we got the there. And what are we doing? Well, we can't, you don't have to struggle with that, they'd say. No, Gnosticism, etc., one of the things. And therefore, you have a body, and you have an old, sure, you have an old sin nature. And so why don't try to keep trying to be a good guy, because you've got an old sin nature. So don't try to keep getting rid of that. Just enjoy it and let it loose. You know, Gnosticism. They got that. Hang on. Secondly, antinomianism, no law, no anti-no law, no law. And what do we mean? Well, you don't have to go by the law. The law, the law, the laws, the laws, the laws. You can't do the laws anyway. Mosaic law and all the law. We can't keep the law, and which we can't. And we can't keep the law, so don't go by the law. You don't have to be governed by the law. Just sort of enjoy life in this body. That's the objective. As a believer, you don't really have to be. What are you trying to avoid? If the believing heart is really going to enjoy abiding in Christ, being a believer, being a child of God, then you become a pain in the neck in the world, because you become a light in a dark world. As long as you're carnal, you're dark. But if you're going to enjoy light and abide in life, you're going to be there. Our Lord, what did they do about our Lord's three and a third years of public ministry? They tried to kill him. 1, 2, 3, 4. All the way to his crucifixion, where they thought they succeeded. So, what's his problem? He's different. He represents God's wonderful plan for a human being, and And that's for all of us to have a unique personal relationship that pleases God and profits us, to have a relationship to God in a wonderful way. And all of that is an offense to us who live in darkness, who are under the old nature. It's offensive because we aren't. You are something we are not. And you're condemning us and telling us we're condemned already because we believe not. And the wrath of God abideth on us. So we are not happy with you at all. Therefore, we're going to do everything possible to get you to get saved. We can't stop you being saved. We can never stop you being saved because you didn't save yourself. Christ did. Christ did the saving. And when you received him as your Savior and you honored his word and invited him and believed and allowed him to be in your heart, once you believe and receive and truly receive him as your Savior, you become a child of God. That can't be undone. You may louse up your life something fierce as a believer and end up saved, 1 Corinthians 3, by fire and have nothing. That's our problem. And the world can't stop us. It can stop us from ever believing by getting sidetracked. But once you believe, it has to go another way to get us caught up in the system, of some system, in some way, so that we don't enjoy being a child of God. We're more busy trying to serve and honor, understandably, our old sin nature. And that's what we do. You got a job, you have your rights, you should be loved, you earn, you deserve, whatever. That's what we do. And we do that. And so the devil comes along with narcissism and all of these different things to get believers to get sidetracked. And that's the real issue. So when we came to 1 John, over if I can, and you remember now, in the process, in chapter, let me do a different way. In chapter 3, we remember, we're told that we did together, that we're loved, God loves us with a very strange kind of love. In other words, we can't understand it. What kind of love is it that God could love us like that? Because when we're dead, we have nothing to offer God. From our point of view, we have nothing to offer God. So God, what are you doing? You do a wonderful thing. You love us with a very alien, strange kind of love. That does what? What makes it so strange? That you love us to become your child. You love us. That verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons, the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So what, God, what do we know? We know that you love us and that you placed us in a unique relationship to you as our Father, to be your child, for real, for real. Not make-believe, for real, to be his child, to belong to the family, to belong to the Father, for real. And therefore, what are you trying to tell us, God? I want you to go and enjoy your new relationship. That's the whole point. What are you trying to tell me? You're dead in sins. I have given you life. I'm not interested in your old nature. I'm not interested in your deadness. I'm not interested. I crucified it. I'm finished. You have to live with it every 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I have finished it. So in your relationship to me, I want you to enjoy. You already are a child of Adam in the first Adam, the last Adam who saves you. You're his son. God has saved you. You have allowed him to be your Savior and Lord. And therefore, he saves you in a most awesome, wonderful way. And you become related directly to him, not just as God, but as your Father. That's different. That's personal. That's intimate. Personal, intimate relationship to God to be saved. I want you now to enjoy that relationship. When I get to heaven? No. I want you to enjoy it. From the day you received me as your Savior, I want you to enjoy it till I take you home. I want you to enjoy a unique relationship to me as my child. We shared abiding over chapter 2 and verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you, which you've heard from the beginning. If that ye be, have heard from the beginning, shall remain, if that which you've heard from the beginning shall remain, abide in you, same word abide in you, you shall also continue the word abide in the Son and in the Father. You need to go be abiding in the branch, needs to be abiding in the vine, in the tree, so that it enjoys the life. That's what it needs to do. And sliding down, verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. Abide. Again, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, you may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Well, abide. I don't want you to be disconnected as the dead. I want you to be abiding. For what? Enjoy your unique relationship to God. That's why the Spirit of God, continuous present tense, cries, Abba, Father. To what? I want you to enjoy 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I want you to enjoy I'm your Father, and I want to flow my life, your relationship to me, not to Adam. That's all old sin nature. I crucified it, reckon it dead. Don't try to make it dead. Don't go around and try to say, I got to play dead. No, I got to make it dead. I got to somehow kill myself, got to punish myself, purge myself, torture myself, which is what happened often in religions, etc., to try to purge us from the sin. No, reckon yourself dead, period. Just say thank you. Don't fight it. Don't make a big deal about it. And you say, I got an old nature. You bet you do. And that lousy old nature just keeps there. It never goes away. And when you wake up, it's still there. And during the night, it's still there to give you your dreams. And there it is. So God, yep, I'm not going to fight it. I'm not going to fight it. Like the tar baby. The more you hit the tar baby, the more you get stuck, can't get free. Don't want to do that. No, God, I'm just going to go. Thank you. I don't want to get caught up trying to resolve my old nature and my thoughts, my words, my deeds in all kinds of ways. And I get depressed, I get disappointed, I get discouraged. I have all the different things, good and bad, pleasant and wrong. I'm trying to work out my life. God, I have a unique relationship to you, and I am to exercise it. Abide, the branch abides, and the life of the tree is in the branch. When you receive Christ as your Savior, the life of God in Christ is in you. The branch goes to the tree. The life of the branch is in the tree, the tree's life. It isn't the branch's life, it's the tree's life. And it just joys what? A relationship. To God. We have a relationship to earth. We breathe. We're all breathers. We breathe. Most of you breathe. You breathe, you breathe. We have a relationship to God, but we don't need air. We need to believe, 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 believe. That's all I ask. That's all you ask. Please believe me. Enjoy the relationship and exercise it. Thank God for it. Thank God you're saved. That's the whole point that God's trying to get across. And he's going to drive it home in a very heavy way in a minute. You'll see it. He's trying to tell it. Would you please stop that stupid thinking? Is that all right? It just isn't smart. You want to be smarter than that. You want to be smart. Well, I'm going to take care of things. No, you're not. You're wrecking yourself, Dad. So, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, so therefore, and the old nature, you don't have to turn there, Galatians 5 and 17, your old nature is going to go against God, the Spirit of God, the one's going to, in your heart, when you received him as your Savior, you had darkness. When you received light, the light and darkness collide. They collide in your heart. They do. So John, Galatians 5, 17, you have a problem. You never had it till you had to know. You never worried. Well, then we get sidetracked. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so you need to abide, be abiding, receiving, believing God's word, God's working, God's wonderful, wonderful working. And you need to let that happen in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And therefore, that's why we did all these things, so you put it together. If you love me, keep my commandments. And how do you answer that one? And we did. When you're abiding, what do you want me to do if the branch abide without me? I am the vine, you're the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. So God, what are you asking? I'm asking you to abide. You can't enjoy the life of the tree disconnected. You can't do that. You can't do that. You have to stay connected. What do you mean? You've got to abide and enjoy your relationship to God. Abide. We aren't talking about your old sin nature. We're talking about your relationship to Almighty God who saves us. And so therefore, we're to enjoy that wonderful relationship. You're going to keep my commandments. What's your commandment, God? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. You want me to love you? That's right. I love being a branch. I love being a branch. That's what I said. I love being your branch, God. God loves me to be a branch. And I love being a branch. Got it? Not hard. Not hard. I love being a branch. We love him because he first loved us. So God, I got it. You want it. You made a wonderful, wonderful relationship possible, and therefore I want to exercise that as your child. So you're looking for my behavior. Right. Remember they said with against the law and against your body, you just let it sin? No, you can't do that. You don't want to do that. So I think of that. Hang on. And go over, if you would, to the book of Romans, and in Romans chapter 6. And in Romans in chapter 6, picking up, please, verse 1. Now, remember, we didn't read it, so you're going to have to hang on. If we read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, if you have an old nature and you never can fix it, that's what we're going to say. You never can fix your old nature. Can't get that clear. You can't fix it. It isn't fixable. I crucified it. So don't talk about it. Don't have to go and pay $50 to the doctor to help you understand it. Okay? You just got an old nature, and it's what it's there. And therefore, you need to trust me, said God, with all your heart. And that's what you do. So when Paul comes along and says, so if I'm going to be a child of God, I need to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ as a branch in the tree. I need to have a relationship to Christ that is very positive, that enjoys his wonderful life. And that life is totally against all that Gnosticism and everything else was saying. All they were saying was to get you to lose everything, to miss out on everything. No, God wants you to enjoy your wonderful life. You need to abide. So instead of sinning and just saying, fighting your old nature, you aren't fighting your old nature. You'll never win. You'll never win. So therefore, what did you say? So when we come to Paul, the Spirit of God is going to say through the apostle, chapter 6, verse 1, what should we then say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Are we supposed to keep doing bad things because it's your body and you might as well do it? No, no, no. God's done with it. Done with it. And if you aren't done with it, you may not be saved. That's what he's going to say. You may not be saved. There's no way if you're in bondage like that. Something's wrong. Therefore, Paul's going to say it different. Listen to Romans 6 better. What shall we then say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You're finished. You're finished. Don't fight it. Thank God it's finished. Otherwise, you're going to never get there. You'll never get there. Always reading this, and it never connects. You want to enjoy what you read. That's wonderful, wonderful truth. The Spirit of God makes it real and wonderful. Therefore, sliding down, as you know, we're buried with him, as verse 3 and 4, and verse 4, I'll read it. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism, immersion, identification in his death. Christ took us and died in our place. And like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if there's no way, if we've been crucified, then, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, therefore it has to be, we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. And you have to enjoy his life in a most wonderful way and let God outwork his life in a wonderful way. And you have to understand that's what God's after. And he's going to drive home the point. You can't go. You keep trying to live in the halfway house. You keep trying to live a little of this and what's a little of that. No, you want to be able to be free. That doesn't mean you don't sin. Remember 1 John? Well, before I do that, go over with me to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8. And in the Gospel of John in chapter 8, may I pick up, please, our Lord, his perfect example. Chapter 8, verse 28, John. Then said Jesus unto them, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, crucifixion, then shall you know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. I abide in the Father, and the Father's life abides in me, and the Father's life is what I am exercising and enjoying. Therefore, verse 29, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. Explanation. I do always those things that please him. I please God. That's what I do. Who said that? Our Lord said that. Our Lord did. Now, back over to 1 John. And picking up in 1 John in chapter 1. We need to be knowing and growing. That's the whole point in 1 John, which we read. We need to be like him. We need to be honoring him enjoying him. And therefore, God has to help us to do so. But it isn't because we get rid of it. No, we just understand it's there and we're to reckon it dead. In the same breath, to reckon ourselves alive unto God. We're able to abide. The branch is able to enjoy the life of the vine, the tree. And the branch enjoys the life it has now. You're a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. All things have passed away. Everything has become what? New. The old. I'm done. So, but my problem, that's right. And what are you going to do? When you're 10 years old, 20 years old, 100 years old, what are you going to do? The same thing you did from the day one. You can say, God, thank you. Thank you that you took care of all my problems at 10, all my problems at 20, and you've taken all of my problems from the day I was born till the day I drop dead. That's why I can be saved. You took care of every dumb thing that would keep me from honoring your righteousness, your wonderful righteousness. Now, and remember, antinomianism, law, no law, no law. Hang on. Now, 1 John and verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, is cleansing us from all sin. So what are we doing? We're going to walk in the light. The light of God's word, which we're trying to understand. We're going to walk in the light of God's word. And the light of God's word, I'm going to believe it. And God's going to outwork his wonderful word in his wonderful way in our little old lives. So therefore, and remember, as you walk in the light, don't ever say your old sin nature. Remember, it's there. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That old sin nature is there. It's there. So when we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood is cleansing us. That's right. And you aren't sitting there trying to apologize every minute for your old sin nature. You just have it. And you reckon it dead. You put it aside. Don't be trusting it. Doubt comes, and God says you don't have to doubt. Worry comes, don't worry. Disappointment, don't be disappointed. Oh, down the line you go. God, you're going to counter everything. That's right. So therefore, A, you got that old sin nature. God didn't tell you. God's straight being with you. The only way you can do is walk in the light and enjoy what I'm telling you and what I've done in the cross for you. Verse 10, and if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And there's the fruit of sin. So we get the root of our old nature, verse 8, and the fruit of our old sin nature in verse 10. And what are we going to do in between when we see it? Verse 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we really get in trouble and we see a thing we did, all we do is what? Confess our sin. God, that's sin. What do you know? All sin is lawlessness. All sin is lawlessness. That's what it is. So what's to say? It's sin. God, I say it. I did it. I didn't mean to do it. God, and God's finished. I'm finished. I should beat myself 10 times for that. Well, I probably do in the flesh, but I didn't need to. I didn't need to do that. Nope. All I had to do, God was done with it. The minute I said to God, I understand the relationship, abiding in the branch. I need to behave myself as a believer. I don't need to live any old way I please and then go to heaven and be one. I'm supposed to be one now. And the world system is telling me, the enemy is telling me, I don't need to behave myself. I should have a conduct that matches my character, that matches my relationship. I belong to him. I act, I wear, if you were a special somehow, you were a king's son somehow and you had to wear something. And you wear it. Why? Because I'm a king's son. And I wear it. And I do it. So God, what are you doing? Over, if I can, 1 John. And in chapter 3. And you'll notice in verse 4. Whoso committeth sin, sin is a way, practice, habitual. Whoso committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is lawlessness. Lawlessness. Well, what's lawlessness? It's the absence of rightness. What is lawlessness? You don't keep the law. In other words, you aren't right. See it a little clearer, simple. Over to Romans. And in Romans, in chapter 10. And in Romans in chapter 10, and you will note, I'll read verse 1, a little context. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for all Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. What's the problem? Because, 4, verse 3, they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their, what? Own righteousness. That's what they're doing. Law, law, lawlessness, the absence of rightness. Rightness. Sin is lawlessness. Lawlessness is sin. Sin. What is sin? The absence of right. It's wrong. Simple as that. Now, what were the Jews doing? They were Pharisees, etc., especially. They were trying to do rightness, do everything just so, to get right enough. But you never can be right enough. The branch can do whatever, but it never gets more than dead. It's all dead, dressed up, dead. There's no righteousness. So God, what are you doing? You're going to tell us, reckon yourself dead. Reckon dead. Put it down. I'm done. You're alive. Enjoy God. You got the old nature. You're right. Right, but I'm going to walk in the light. And I understand. Understand, God. I'm just to believe and trust you and let you, what? Keep cleansing me from all the dumb things that are happening and happen in my little head and heart. I'm going to let you keep cleansing me. I'm not going to let you. You're going to do it. And in the process, I reckon it. I never say, I'm a good guy or I'm righteous. No, my righteousness is yours, God. The rightness that I need to have comes how? From you. Therefore, Romans 10 and verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for what? Righteousness. It's the end. Christ answers it. When you receive Christ as your Savior, he's the right one for the right reasons. He makes you, 1 Corinthians 1:29, he's your righteousness. He's your righteousness. That's why it's right. It's all wrong, but it's all right. It's all right. Why? Because Christ died. And he isn't reckoning your old dumb nature, what's going in 24 hours a day. That isn't a problem for him. It's a problem for us. God has done something wonderful to give us a unique relationship to himself that has no problem with sin, because Christ is your righteousness and the rightness of your abiding in the branch, your right to abide, your right to receive all the sap, the life, your right to receive all that God is giving to you, grace upon grace upon grace. You ought to receive it. It's a wonderful relationship, and you exercise it and live it simply. That's the Christian life. We go everywhere but that. And we don't understand. That's why God says, God will say, as we back over, if I can, to 1 John and chapter 3. That's why, verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Why? For we shall see him as he is. We're looking for him to be like him in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now in the process, to be like him. And every man, verse 3, that hath everybody and anybody, everybody that hath this hope, this expectancy to be like him, purifieth himself, even as he is pure, pure, holy, clean. God, be holy, for I am holy. God, I'm abiding in the branch. The tree's holy, the branch is holy, the life in the branch is holy, the life in the branch is clean, the life in the branch is wonderful. And I'm going to exercise the life in the branch as a child of God. And what's the enemy want? To not be, don't act like a child of God, don't live like a child of God, don't look like a child of God. Don't do it. No, let your conduct show your character. Who do you belong to? Live the life that God has given you. To what? That you're free, that God saves you, and you have any, you're head of, chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. We're looking for what? The imminent person receiving the Lord as our Savior could come before we get out of the building. That's right. We're going to be like him. That's like him. We shared all these things last week and then and before. Little children want to grow up. They want to grow up and be like their mother and father, and an adult. They want to be an adult. So when do you get saved? You want to be like my father. I want to grow up. I'm going to be like him. I belong in the family. Then shoot for it. Go for it. That's the trouble. What kind of love is it? It's strange love. It is. No one loves like that. No one cares like that. No one thinks like that. But God does. And God requires it. And God makes it very clear. If you, I can't get involved. Go with me, chapter 3. Verse 5, and ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. So Christ died on the cross. He's done with sin, all finished with it. And therefore, verse 6, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. No, I can't. If you're abiding, you're sinning. But what do you know about your sinning? Walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ is what? It's cleansing you. Cleansing you. So that's what we know. Is Christ done with your sin? Yes. You have to be done with it in the right kind of way. Not the wrong kind of way. You're done, got it. You got an old sin nature. So you need to understand that and exercise that in a way that honors God. They're looking for his appearing. They're trying to grow up. The little kid, the little child growing up, whatever age, you go into the first grade, you go to the second grade. That's what you do. And you're growing up. You want to grow up. You want to be a grow up, and it used to be grow up and be a good adult. I want you to grow up and be an old-fashioned adult, a good way, good way. To grow up, that's what we want to do. So God, you got to help us. And that's what we're looking for. And that's where we're going. That's true, we grow up, little boys. But in the same breath, I'm a child of God. I'm getting older in the flesh. And there, that's true. But God, I haven't even started my journey to become like you, to belong to you, my Father, to be like you, to be like Christ, to be his, to be found, God in Christ, in your heart. That's what God's looking at. I want you to be in my family like me, righteous, holy, I want you to be with me, but you have to abide. I don't want your old nature. I saved you from it to be able to live. And you aren't sitting there dissecting and debating all of this. You're just enjoying. God took you. God took away the old clothes. And Crusoe said, no more old clothes. And wherever you stay, and God wants you to have a new suit. God has made you anew. So God sees you. God sees you in your as a new. He doesn't see you in the old. He sees you as a new man, as a believer in Christ. That's how he sees you. And you're to enjoy that wonderful relationship in a most wonderful way. And you'll notice in chapter 3 of 1 John, in verse 3, he that hath this hope, this expectancy, this seriousness, serious, of all the things in life, the most serious thing, if you get saved, to get saved, number one, and to be saved, to enjoy being saved. God wants you to enjoy abiding, the branch abiding in the vine. I want you to, without me, John 15:5, you can do nothing. I want you to enjoy being a child of God now. I want you to behave yourself so that you and I can get along, said God, together. I'm going to be your life and your love and your everything. And you're going to allow me, you're going to love my loving you. You're going to let me love you. And you're going to love being loved and let God do a wonderful work in your little old heart. That's what God wants. Otherwise, you're just going to be religious up to here and whatever. And the thing is, all the church, where we're headed, is all going down. It gets darker and darker and darker. We're going downhill. I know you're not, we want to go uphill, but it isn't happening. That doesn't mean you can't go uphill, but everything else is going downhill. So you got to hang on to that. And God help us. It's a wonderful thing God's done. And God would have this wonderful expectancy, this wonderful that you are as you are, and we love your appearing in a most wonderful way. And therefore, we got to quit. Over to Timothy in closing. At least you get a little, we didn't get very far, but I hope you got a little bit to see it. That's what it is, a serious thing. I can't think of anything more serious. My connection to you, God, better be locked on. I'm not no messing around. I'm not just a church goer. You know, forget that. You want to be a God-fearing believer. Therefore. Oh yeah, I forgot what I said. Timothy. And 2 Timothy chapter 4. And here's Paul at the end of his journey. And chapter 4, verse 6, 2 Timothy. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I'm going to die. Nero's going to take my life. Verse 7, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith, the body of truth that is to be believed. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love are loving his appearing. I'm looking. I'm going to be like him. I'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians 15. And we'll be caught up to be changed. I'm looking, God. That is to govern my behavior on planet Earth, to my wife, to my every family, to the world I live in. It's to govern my life, that relationship. And you want to honor that. You want to seek that, to be part. That's your life. Not seek it. You already have it. Exercise it. Exercise the relationship for real. That's what God wants. It's one super duper wonderful thing, God, that we really are saved. We really are set apart. Yeah. Really. Our Father and God, deal with our heads and hearts and help us. And our Father will thank you for all that you do and all that you're doing. God, we're just trying to get a little bit and understand a little more so that we can go forward in a way that honors you and not just drift along. God, we want to do it with some precision, some objectivity, that we can move forward inch by inch, but truly standing on safe rocks as we go step by step forward. So God, we want to understand, we want to really understand the simplicity and the profoundness of this relationship, the awesomeness of this relationship, that God, we truly, truly are going to look to you to outwork your wonderful presence in the believing heart. So God, take care of it, Spirit of God. Honor your word, honor your work, honor your saving grace. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring. In Christ's name, amen.